Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
This week, you guys, I'm here to introduce Sean Batts.
Batts.
Okay.
Thank you for pronouncing that right. I appreciate that.
I look at it and I'm like, I don't want to mess this kid's name up. It should be too easy.
Yeah, because there's no E in there.
No.
Or I.
Yeah.
But someone's still going to mess it up.
Makes sense, right? Everyone messes it up. I'm like, where do you get an E at? I'm like, Sean Batts, Mr. Batts? I'm like, no, it's too close to Master Batts.
Sean.
This is a perfect way to start out a Whiskey and Wisdom podcast. Yeah, and we're only on the first drink.
Yes.
Hold on tight, guys.
So Sean is another Wilmington native. Unfortunately, he went to Ashley High School. Or fortunately. I mean, it depends on what you wanted to go to high school for. I mean, apparently nowadays you get choices.
I was going to say, does anyone get a choice of what they want to go to high school for?
Like, apparently my friend was like, oh, hey, this school is a STEM program and this one's better known for arts. And I'm like, wait, what?
I thought it was just high school.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I went to school for.
Exactly. I went to school for high school.
Yeah. It's a new day.
You know what? I guess some people go to school to get like recruited for like sports.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Like, I mean, Laney, they didn't really have the best of the best when it comes to certain sports, but you know.
Baseball is what they were known for.
I feel like Michael Jordan is what they're known for.
Oh,
yeah.
When we went there.
Oh, yeah. When we went there, absolutely.
It was baseball.
No, we crushed you guys in baseball.
Maybe.
I mean, football, you guys were okay.
I thought that was a Hoggard thing, was football.
No, Hoggard was.
It transitioned.
Like, yeah, Hoggard was like baseball and football. And
they were football.
Hanover was basketball.
Hanover was basketball. They got all the kids.
I could see that.
They were like an open enrollment.
Yeah.
School. So,
yeah.
Coaches were always like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm just want to come over to Hanover.
But Sean has graciously been nice enough to bring us the official Buffalo Trace. We have had a few whiskeys and bourbons from the Buffalo Trace, you know, family, but not the actual Buffalo Trace.
So, who'd you have to rob to get that?
Oh. So, I know people.
Obviously.
I know people. So. That bottle was actually about a week old.
No way. Yeah,
it's about a week old.
For everyone that can't see it, it is almost empty.
AKA everybody.
I just had a lot of friends that I just wanted to have, you know, just partake in, you know, some Buffalo
I'm
Trace.
Sure, that's what it was.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a good thing to drink.
Buffalo Trace party.
For those who don't know, Buffalo Trace is super classic, straight from Kentucky. That has it's a deep amber color. Actually has some vanilla and molasses. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, there's some mint in there as well. So it's a little sweet, a little brown sugar toasted notes in there with my favorite thing, toffee, in case anyone wanted to know.
If you do pay attention real close, you can get the mint in it now that I paid attention.
See, that's what I'm here for. Educate everybody. Can you taste it?
I get no mint at all.
But see, mint is a weird thing. Like, there's different kinds of mint.
Like a spearmint. Depending,
yeah.
Peppermint.
Yep. Mint.
Mint.
I didn't know. Like, my wife was cleaning the house with, like, mint-scented stuff, and I was like, this smells horrible.
What kind of mint was it?
It was one of those, like, bottles from Target that had literally just said mint. The other one said rose or something. And I was like, this is nasty. I don't know. It was just something different. We do have a question for you to get us started.
Ooh, okay.
Tell us a little about yourself.
Hey. Well, as you had already mentioned, I am a Wilmington native. I graduated from Ashley High School. Born and raised here in the Port City. I feel like it's one of those things where the Port City has this like gravitational pull on anyone and everyone from here. And people that come to visit all the time, they're just like, it's something about Wilmington. And what they fail to realize is it's the people.
It's the water.
Yeah.
It's the Gen X.
It's not the water.
When I'm not having a good time with my friends doing podcasts and stuff, I do enjoy to drink bourbon or whiskey. Hang out with my friends, family. That's really big for me. Very into sports. So I love to golf.
Yeah.
Play pickup football, play basketball. You can usually find me on a basketball court somewhere.
Yep.
From all of my videos that you typically see. Yeah. I like to do some community involvement. So I'm a committee chair for the North Carolina Azalea Festival. I'm also an ambassador for Port City Young Professionals.
Yeah.
So if you guys are interested in knowing more about Port City Young Professionals, please reach out to me. Shameless plug right there.
Actually, that was one thing I did want to talk to you about on this podcast. So we will get into that. Okay. And the reason why I want to bring it up is you are very well known in the area.
Ooh, I don't know if that's a good thing.
It seems to be a good thing because every time we ask someone who we should bring on, it's always you and TJ Dunn are the two like top people that people always ask for.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So TJ's a good buddy of mine.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So you guys are well loved.
Bring TJ Dunn on here for sure.
He's a hard guy to pin down.
He really is. But I guarantee you can lure him in with some whiskey.
Yeah.
We gotta find a good bottle. I just don't know what it is though.
I always try to find something rare, especially like when we bring like whiskey connoisseur type of people on. And so I scour the ABC stores on a regular basis, but it's hard.
So it was either I asked Chris before I came, I was like, do you want something fancy or do you want something like just regular? Mm-hmm. Which this is regular, but
for him,
it's super rare to get.
Right.
So it's
exactly.
Like a rarity. So yep. It's kind of like a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. My next choice was to bring you guys in a bottle of Elijah Craig 18 year.
Maybe for the second time.
I'm sure you guys would have been mad at a spot on the Craig 18 year, but
no, it was funny though, because when I saw you, when you were walking in, like, oh, I just brought something regular this time. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, like free whiskey's fine with me. I'm okay. And I came in, I was like, Buffalo Trace. I was like,
you
I'll take a
regular ride. Right.
Yes. Like, what kind of world are we in if that's regular?
I actually have the story of Buffalo Trace. I've got a book in my office.
Oh, no way.
Next to a bottle of Buffalo Trace that's actually full.
Right.
But it talks about the entire story of the Buffalo Trace family, how everything started, the distillery from ground, you know, zero all the way to, you know, this day and age.
Oh, wow.
So I should probably bring that book in for you guys.
Just that'd be interesting.
Kind of have.
Yeah, we'll read it.
What are the highlights of it that kind of stick out to you?
I can't really pick just one thing out.
It's an actual good read.
It's a really good read. If you're a big history buff, I would definitely say it's one of those things where you would definitely want to dive in deep and kind of like learn about everything about bourbon, about whiskey, about the bottling process, about the aging process, about the barrels, how they select the barrels, temperature controlled, you know, climate control, like all that good stuff, because all those different things affect the taste.
Yep.
So you can have a barrel that's like a char barrel or an oak barrel, and you can have them in the same exact warehouse during the aging process. But there's certain sediments that are inside those barrels that actually change the notes and change the flavors.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, I was talking to Emily about that because there's like Jefferson's has their own like traditional, and then they have Jefferson's Oceans. And she's like, why is it so expensive? Because it doesn't just settle. It moves on the ocean.
Yeah.
She just rolled her eyes.
So I don't know if you guys have ever had Blackened whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
So Blacken, basically what they do, they pump ACDC. So each one of the batches are a little bit different. So in like a completely dark room, they blast ACDC. And that's supposedly hilarious. Like all the vibrations from the different songs and everything, it causes like agitation into the barrel. So it kind of like expands and contracts.
Oh,
so
wow.
It changes like the aging process, but it doesn't actually age it.
Yep.
It's just kind of mimicking the aging process without the aging.
That's very interesting.
But if you scan each one of the batches, like batch 108, it tells you what songs were played in that room with those barrels before they batched everything.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Or before they bottled everything.
Right. Yeah. I know what you meant.
Got you.
So it's pretty cool. I mean, interesting things like that.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
So what's the story about how you got involved in kind of learning about all of the whiskey and bourbons and stuff that you drink?
Ooh, okay. So I've got a good buddy of mine. His name's Dan. And when COVID hit, actually before COVID hit, we had our first bottle of E.H. Taylor.
Oh, okay.
So it's E.H. Taylor small batch. And as you guys know, E.H. Taylor is a part of Buffalo Trace's distillery. Mm-hmm. Yep. I feel like it's a little bit more high end in comparison to just Buffalo Trace. You get different types, different notes, different varieties of E.H. Taylor. And we had our first bottle of small batch. Well, it was his wife's birthday, and we ended up drinking that entire bottle. I don't know if it's something I should celebrate. Like, we should be happy right. about it. But, you know, that night
honestly, why not?
For her birthday. We celebrated for her.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
So we polished off that entire bottle, and we woke up the next morning, and we felt like $1 million.
Oh, wow.
And it was at that point where we had, like, this little epiphany where it was like, huh, we drank an entire bottle of whiskey, and we felt great the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when's the last time you guys have done something like that? Even not even a full bottle, but just, like, you know, just 4 or 5 glasses. And felt great the next day.
Yeah, I don't know about great. Okay, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it really does depend on what you drink, too.
Yeah.
So when's the last time you drank, like, I don't know, Jim Beam or Jack Daniels? Like, a lot of it, and felt great the next day.
Oh, never.
Exactly.
When was the last time you had Jim Beam straight?
I haven't.
I was going to say.
A long time.
Like, I don't even remember.
Yeah. Someone could buy me a shot of Jim, and I'd say, I appreciate the insult, but I'm not
right.
Like, I don't hate. That
sounds snobby.
Yes, a little.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm kind of the same way, though.
Thank you. I appreciate.
Yeah,
that.
See, I'll be honest.
I was at Starling, and they had some gym from like 1969.
See, now I would do that like, just for the like nostalgic type of thing, just to see if it makes a difference. But
I mean, I'd probably partake in that as well. But just like we're talking like a bottle of just regular gym, plastic bottle at that. I mean,
right.
Things that come in plastic, I don't want to put into my body.
Mm-mm.
What if it's the I Dream of Jeannie Jim Beam?
I'd probably drink that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was still plastic, but.
Yeah.
Good was point. It?
I don't think it was glass. It could have been.
I'll search that.
Yeah,
we're going to find out quick. Tonight.
Yeah. So getting into that, sorry, I go off these little tangents from time to time.
And we'll be more than happy to go down it with you. Yeah. So we follow.
So we drank the entire bottle. So it was one of those things. We woke up the next morning, we felt like $1 million. Mm-hmm. And at that point we realized, hey, this is really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
So we searched all the ABC stores for it and we couldn't find it.
Nope.
Couldn't find it anywhere. And it was one of those things where he went just to get his wife's boss a nice present.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he got that. And it was like a $40 bottle.
Yeah.
So MSRP on E.H. Taylor small batch is $39.99. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't really think this is fancy enough for her boss. Yeah. So he's like, you know, we'll just go ahead and drink this ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, what we realized was that was probably better in comparison to what he got him because it was super rare to find.
Oh, wow.
And he found it at the ABC store in Porter's Neck.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah. So it was one of those things where now if you try to find a bottle of E.H. Taylor, you can get on the mailing list for the ABC store.
No way.
They will mail you when each store in North Carolina, whether it be New Hanover County or Brunswick County, Pender County, when they actually get a shipment of Buffalo Trace, Blanton's, or E.H. Taylor. And wow. I can tell you like this, if you don't show up at least 4 hours in advance, you're not getting a bottle. And typically, they're super limited for their allocation. And it's usually like each store gets 6 bottles.
Yep.
So if you're not the first 6 in line, you're not getting a bottle. And you just wasted 4 hours of time just to get a bottle of whiskey.
My biggest whiskey regret so far is the one day I went into the ABC store right down the road. And there was still 2 bottles of Eagle Rare sitting on the thing, and I didn't grab it.
I think you told me about that.
Yeah, that's right. I think I did. Yeah, I was like, why did I leave those there?
What's really I thought about bringing a bottle of Eagle Rare in for you.
Right. Yeah, thanks.
Just to be like,
hey, right.
But yeah, so it's one of those things, you know, once you kind of get into the whiskey and the bourbon kind of, not club, but just...
Yeah, kind of the scene, I guess.
The scene. There we go. I was going to say the path of enlightenment.
Right.
Good whiskey and bourbon. It's one of those things where you just kind of like find yourself going down this little rabbit hole and just wanting to find more and just kind of expanding your palates to the different types of bourbons, whiskeys, ryes.
Yeah.
And just kind of like finding what you like.
Yeah. It's kind of cool because we were talking earlier about how all the whiskeys are very different flavor wise. And I tried something the other day and I was like, it just, I thought it was a whiskey and I found out it was a liqueur, but it was very herbaceous. And they just stopped and they looked at me like, what are you saying? But I'm like, there's certain things and you have a bottle.
I do have a bottle that is very herbaceous.
Yeah. And it, once you look it up and you're like, oh, you can kind of like put the notes together. Like that's what that means.
Yeah. So barrel bourbon has a, it's called Dovetail. So there's mm-hmm. different editions of yep. the different bourbons and whiskeys they have. This is called Dovetail, and it does have floral notes. So you can get certain bottles of whiskey or bourbon, and during that aging process and during the barreling process, they put different things in there to kind of like give their own recipe and have it taste certain ways. But yeah, Dovetail does have a little bit of an earthy taste mm-hmm. and a little bit of a herb taste to it, like a floral taste. So
interesting. How'd you acquire that bottle?
That was actually gifted to me for my birthday.
Oh, okay.
By a good buddy of mine. So
nice.
A lot of my friends know that I like whiskey. I like bourbon. So
right, yeah.
I'm pretty easy to shop for.
That's
yeah.
where we're at.
I was going to say, yeah, everyone knows like for any occasion, exactly. like here's some whiskey.
But it's also one of those things where it's just like, if I want to find something for a good friend of mine, mm-hmm. I don't want to get them just a bottle of Jack.
Right. Or Jim.
I want to find them something nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what you can get at the ABC stores here are slim pickings.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to keep a little stash.
Yeah.
Just for a rainy day or for a birthday, I guess. Yeah. A rainy birthday.
It's hard though. Cause like it wasn't that way, but because everyone assumes, oh, COVID, that's why there's no more whiskey. Nope. I'm like, no, it's mm-mm. because everyone moved here from out of town. And then it kind of got that, like, a lot of us who lived here hit that age where we're like, yeah, we don't want to drink vodka anymore. Let's try something better. And I feel like that's like the elevation. Like a lot of people hit that millennial age of like 28 to like 37. And like, let's try some whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I mean, I definitely agree with you on that.
Yeah. And I just think that's kind of crazy that like you can't get whiskey here, at least not like decent whiskey.
So I feel like it's one of those things. I looked at something a while back and it talked about Anthony Bourdain before he passed away. You know, yeah. It showed that he had no reservations. Mm-hmm. Well, he talked about going to a certain destination. I can't remember exactly where it was, but he talked about drinking Pappy. And it was at that point he talked about drinking Pappy and he also talked about drinking Blanton's.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was like a pairing for the food that he was eating. He was just kind of going in about, you know, how good this bottle was mm-hmm. and, you know, the different notes and the different flavors and all the profiles for it. And I think it was at that point where that kind of put whiskey on the map and bourbon on the map for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Seeing something like that. So if you look at, you know, the different celebrities or, you know, anyone that's famous that talks about drinking a specific type of liquor mm-hmm. or spirit, whatever you want to call it, or, you know, even beer, it's one of those things where now it kind of puts it on the map. It kind of gets it more popularized.
Yeah.
Is that a word, popularized?
Popularized.
So it's one of those things where they're just like, I want that. I want that. I want that because mm-hmm. someone famous has it.
It's just like watches. It's so bad. Oh, no. I love watches. Okay. I don't judge anybody for anything.
It's just like watches. I look down. I was like, ooh.
No, everyone looks at me because I work with watches and they're like, well, why can't you get this watch for me? Can I order this? I have a tag.
Ooh.
But
I have a tag too.
Yeah.
I don't wear my tag out. Unless it's super fancy.
But there's certain tags that you got a special order now. Like there's mm-hmm. certain Omegas people are looking for, certain Rolex in general. Everyone's like, oh, why can't I have this? Can I order it? And I'm like, no. Do you walk into the Porsche dealership and say, I want this car? And they're like, no, you got to wait. When I get an allocation, I'll give you a call.
Here's the problem. Here in America, we are very much an instant gratification society.
Yes.
And I am guilty of that as well, because as Chris would know, there's times that, you know, in our past lives where I would come into the store and I would say, hey, do you have this in my size? And he'd say, no, but I can order it for you. And I said, yep. I want you to order it. I want it now.
Yep.
Because if I'm buying it right now, I want it right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm the same exact way too, because my wife always makes fun of me about it. She's like, oh, I'll get it. Like, I'll buy it for you on Amazon. I'm like, no, I'm going to the store now to get it. I want it now. So I'm going to go to Best Buy now and I'm going to pick it up. Like, don't order it.
Instant gratification.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The American way.
Hey, exactly.
But yeah, so I love the fact that you enjoy watches. You guys enjoy bourbon as well. I got into watch collecting at a young age, and Fossil is actually what got me into watches. And I'm sure that's kind of where everyone started, maybe Fossil or Casio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's everyone I know.
Yep.
Is like, oh, hey, well, I have this G-Shock. And I'm like, G-Shock's a great watch to get to beat around. Like, that's the point of them.
Yeah.
And then you move to a Fossil because it's like, oh, hey, it's $150, $200. And you're like, okay, cool. Live the life. Mm-hmm. And then people are like, let's progress to the next level.
Treat yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of how watches and whiskey kind of all kind of interrelate. Is you start with the cheap stuff when you don't know any better, and you start kind of moving your way up slowly because you catch the bug. And I don't know how it happens with both of them, and it hits the same people. It's a expensive hobby to get into.
Absolutely.
Both sides.
I think it's really funny too. So like getting into like whiskey and bourbon, having certain people that you never knew were big time whiskey or bourbon fans.
Yeah.
And kind of connecting like out of the blue.
Over that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually got a really good buddy of mine, and me and him kind of, well, it's several of us, but we have like the bourbon brotherhood.
Yeah.
So anytime that we go and travel out of state or anything like that, it's like, hey, I'm picking up this bottle. Does anyone else need anything? Mm-hmm. If you go to like South Carolina is, it's a private sales process. So all the ABC stores are private sellers. They can mark up their prices to whatever they want.
Yep.
North Carolina is regulated by the state. So it's all MSRP.
Mm-hmm.
It's super difficult to find things in North Carolina, but if you find it, you're going to get it at price.
Yep.
Bottle of Buffalo Trace, $29.99. Anywhere else you get it, maybe South Carolina, maybe Myrtle Beach. You can probably get a bottle of Buffalo Trace in Myrtle Beach. Yeah. It's going to be like $60.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like double the price.
Yeah.
It's price gouging, but at the same time, they know what it's worth.
Yep.
And that's like that kind of thing where now so many people are well aware of the bourbon and the rarities of certain bourbons and certain whiskeys that they just kind of like buy them up.
Yeah.
Like the housing market right now.
Exactly. There was a TikTok I was watching, and in that TikTok, there was a owner in, I'm 90% sure, South Carolina, because it was a private distributor.
Yep.
And what they do when a rare bottle comes in, just to get more people in the door, they'll take that bottle and they'll hide it somewhere in the store. And if you can find it, you get it at MSRP.
Huh.
Or you can just go in and if it's still there, you can buy it for whatever the marked up price is. But they'll hide it and they'll hide it and then you can get it for MSRP.
That is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, do they hide it like in plain sight or do they hide it like behind other bottles?
I don't know. The way that he was describing it, it makes it sound like it might be behind like some barrel aged rum or something.
I mean, that's a pretty cool tactic to kind of like boost sales and increase your customer traffic.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, people are going to go into the store regardless to buy it.
Right. Yeah. Like
yes. To a point. So I'm just going to step aside for a second because people don't know. I knew Sean before he decided he liked bourbon and whiskey.
This is true.
And as he mentioned, he is very, I want it now kind of person, which isn't a bad thing. But it was always funny because I met him. You worked at Cisco?
Centos.
Yep. I know it had a C in it.
It did have a C. I think Cisco was an S, though.
Yeah.
It depends on which one.
No, Cisco is a C.
Cisco? The singer?
No. The S Cisco is in the restaurant industry. The C Cisco is in the IT industry.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. There's routers and everything else Cisco branded.
See? Yeah. And that's what I always thought.
There's your wisdom for the day, guys.
But he would come in and he'd be like, yes, I want clothes for tonight. I'm like, okay. And I loved him for it because he would always bring his friends. We'd have fun, spend some money. And I'd be like, I want this man's job. And then I realized he sat in a car way too much and I couldn't do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It had its perks, but at the same time, I definitely spent so much windshield time. It's not even fun.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And then after that, you went to Untappd.
I did work for Untappd. So I left Centos and went to work for Untappd. And it was a big adjustment. And when I say a big adjustment, I went from doing outside sales to inside sales, but also international sales.
Oh, wow.
So Untappd sales were worldwide.
Yeah.
So when I would get in at, 9 o'clock in the morning or, 8:30, whatever the time was we started, we were calling the UK.
Oh, wow.
So it was one of those things where, you know, they're 5 hours ahead.
Yeah.
So at 9 a.m., it was 2 p.m.
Mid-afternoon.
You know? Mm-hmm. So it was just one of those things where that's kind of like that progression. And then, you know, we call Australia at the end of the day. Yeah. It was like 5 p.m. here. We're calling Australia because the bars are, you know, now open and up and running. So it was just, it was really cool to kind of like experience that, but it was a big learning change or learning curve where I like face-to-face sales.
Yeah.
So for me, I like to get in front of someone. Body language is key. You know, you can kind of like start talking about everything and you can understand exactly what they're looking for, what they're wanting. And I feel like you can't do that. You lose a lot of that personality over the phone. Mm-hmm. In person, you see everything. You see if someone's agitated. You see if someone's constantly checking their watch, constantly checking their phones, constantly, you know, disengaged. As long as you can keep them engaged, like that's key. But when you're on the phone, you're not really in front of them. They don't really see a person. They just, they're talking.
Yeah.
They just hear someone. And you can have a soothing voice like Morgan Freeman. And at that point, maybe they just want to stay on the phone a little bit longer. Or you can have a sexy voice, you know, they just want to stay on the phone a little bit longer. But when you're in person, you can kind of, you can gauge everything. You can gauge how much time you have. You can gauge how everything's going as long as you pay attention to those things.
Nice.
That's so key, paying attention.
For those, how,
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
For most of us, what is Untappd?
So Untappd is a software. So if you think of it this way, if you go to another state, for example, you can go to Florida and you like a specific beer. Like, so Chris, what's your favorite beer? Don't say anything basic like Miller Lite or Bud Light or something.
Hummingbird.
Hummingbird. Perfect. Okay. Yeah. Have you ever been to the distillery?
No, not yet.
You should go.
It's every time I go that way, they're closed.
I think they're always closed on like a Monday or something like that. It's like Sunday and Monday. Don't ask me how I know that. But so let's say you go to Florida and you are visiting some friends. You guys all want to go out. You don't know where to go. Us millennials, we know things kind of like we used to have Yelp. You would kind of like just Google something or you would Yelp something and see all the Yelp reviews and you know if you want to go to this place or not. One thing it doesn't show you is what type of beer they have or the alcohol selection. Untappd, you can actually you can go into the Untappd app. You can search your specific beer, and it'll actually tell you what breweries, what bars, what restaurants actually sell that beer.
Yeah.
So now you can kind of adjust your plans accordingly based upon the type of beer selection they have.
I knew that's what Untappd did, and what the I have it on my phone too. But what I use it for is basically just a running tally of everything that I've ever tried, and then how much I like it.
So, you know what the funny thing is with that?
What's that?
So that's how all of that information gets to other subscribers. So other Untappd subscribers, it's a free app.
Yeah.
So when you are an Untappd for Business subscriber, it's a paid version. But those analytics are provided to them. Those analytics actually give them a kind of basis on what beers are popular based upon you checking in those beers, what breweries, what bars, what restaurants are selling that beer. And it gives those restaurants kind of like an advantage of saying, oh, you know what? Based on our orders, we want to make sure that we increase our customer traffic and we want to gain, you know, more clients that like this specific beer.
Oh, wow.
Also, you don't have to worry about running out of certain beers or having to throw away or get rid of certain beers whenever they expire.
Yeah.
Because you're basing your orders off of what's popular in the area and what people are actually wanting to drink.
That's interesting. How was it working for a startup?
It was different.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever worked for a startup. I've always worked for, I guess, corporate America.
Established.
Like legacy companies. Yeah,
exactly. But working for a startup, it was really cool. Kind of like seeing everything, you know, from the ground up. It was definitely one of those things where everyone had to wear multiple hats. And I feel like I thrive in environments like that because my ADD kicks in and I want to just do multiple things. So I get pulled in every single direction except for up. And it's one of those things where I'm just like, you know what? I love this stuff. Gives you a chance to kind of like do different things and experience different things and help grow something from the ground up. So
probably a huge learning opportunity.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
And I'm big on learning.
So you did Untappd. When you were networking and stuff, is that what got you into like the business community, or is that what you're doing now? Like, how'd you transfer?
So when COVID hit, you know, during pandemic, we got laid off from Untappd. All the bars, restaurants, breweries, mm-hmm. all those places essentially shut down during the pandemic. So as sales, you can't really sell to someone that's closed.
Yeah.
Doesn't work good that point. Way. So during the pandemic, I got really, really big into whiskey and bourbon as well with my mm-hmm. buddy Dan. It was one of those things where we kind of like dove off the deep end and we started trying to find certain bottles of E.H. Taylor. And we were very successful. We took a trip down to Florida and my brother lives in Jacksonville, Florida. Uh-oh. And we had to help a friend move from Florida to Wilmington. Mm. Went down there, made a couple trips to Savannah, Georgia, stopped at Savannah ABC, just like right off of 95.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stopped at a little rest area, ended up finding a little honey hole for E.H. Taylor.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to tell you exactly where it was. And then we went to see my brother in Jacksonville. It was one of those things where he was like, I've seen that bottle before. I'm pretty sure the ABC store by my house has that bottle. And I was like, are you sure? He's like, I think so. So he calls up the guy and he's like, yeah, actually, I got a bottle of that. He was like, how many bottles do you have? He was like, I got a lot. He was like, what's a lot?
Yeah.
And he was like, I got enough. I don't know. Immediately, we beeline it straight to this ABC store. We get to this ABC store. And sure enough, we look in the top corner and there's bottles of E.H. Taylor.
Oh, wow.
So we look up there and these bottles were dusty. Like, I'm talking, they were caked with dust.
No way.
And I'm like, this guy has no idea.
Yeah.
Like, this is the holy grail of E.H. Taylor.
So I'm assuming Florida is like privately owned too. So the guy probably bought it and just didn't know what it.
I would imagine so, but we got the bottles relatively close to MSRP. Uh-oh. I mean, a bottle of E.H. Taylor, small batch, goes for $39.99. I think we ended up paying like $49.99 per bottle.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like $10 more.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where it was like, that's well worth the investment. Mm-hmm. And when I say investment, I mean, it was well worth us getting those bottles and then drinking those bottles really, really fast to the point where I think we went through, I don't know, it was probably in the ballpark of like 30 bottles of E.H. Taylor in like 6 months, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I saw it because you posted it. And I was like, whew, that's a lot of liquor.
I think that was just like E.H. Taylor. So it was like we had other stuff as well. There's like a bottle of Pappy, Angel's Envy. Like we just kind of like went down this little rabbit hole of learning bourbon and learning whiskey and learning like our favorite types and certain distilleries that had specific types of like notes and flavors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then once you find something that you really like, you kind of stick with it. The downside is we both feel like we both realize we really like E.H. Taylor. And you can't find it anywhere.
No.
Probably because we drank them out of it. Like,
so is
during the pandemic,
is the Buffalo Trace distillery probably your favorite distillery overall then?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we've got buddies that are doing a distillery tour. Mm-hmm. So you go from like here and you hit every single distillery up to you get to Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
And then you make your rounds at each and every one of the distilleries and then you make your way back.
Oh, that's sweet.
So I haven't had the chance to kind of like get off work to do that yet, but
I ain't got time for that either.
It's on my bucket list. And then you hit up every single ABC store on the trip there just to make sure you find those little honey holes and get all the bourbon and whiskey you can.
That's awesome. So is that
hoard it?
Is that a company through here?
My company,
or what you were talking about, or is that just something that someone
just
made up?
Friends doing it.
This is just friends doing it.
Just friends doing it.
Yeah, we're just
okay. So. And the reason why I say that though is there's a reason. I can't remember what it's called, but in my Firefly days, there was a company that would take you all around North Carolina and hit all of the breweries. Huh. I can't remember what they're called to save my life though.
So what's really funny is that me and my buddies, we decided that we wanted to kind of eventually start like a YouTube channel and call ourselves like the Bourbon Hunters and start like this little TV show where we actually go around to these different ABC stores. We travel the country and find like specific types of bourbon and whiskey and like find these little honey holes, but we haven't got that off the ground yet.
Why?
That would do super well.
That's a good question.
I mean, what's stopping you?
You know what? There's nothing stopping me.
I mean, I just always like to push people.
Yeah. You want to hop on this?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Perfect.
Let's do it.
All right.
I was listening to the podcast this morning and the guy was like, you know, people will always come up to him because they're like a fitness influencer. Mm-hmm. People come up and be like, hey, you know, how did you start this YouTube channel? Or like, where'd you get this clothing from? And he's like, if you ask me those questions, I know you're not really invested.
True.
Because if you are, you would have already done some research and you would have been like, hey, do you like this guy versus this guy? Or like, what's your preference on like a workout or something? You would have had more detailed questions, but mostly his thought process from what I gleaned was, why are you waiting?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to do something, just do it. I was like, you know, that makes sense. Like, that's how we got started.
Yeah.
We waited and we waited and we were like, you know, let's get a third person or let's try. And then Ty was like, hey, you want to do this? It's like, all right, let's go.
I love it.
Yeah. It was crazy. The process of this whole thing is just very long story, kind of short. Is Chris and I were talking about this for over a year, maybe. And it was one of those things where we just kept trying to find more information, So we just didn't feel like it was quite ready yet. And then at one point I was just like, you know what? Let's pull the trigger. We're doing it. And then we bought all the equipment and jumped into it. And then we had some more opportunities came up and then we were like, you know what? Like, this just happened to like snowball effect into effect. And now we have the whole studio here. So it was just, yeah, just
YouTube's way easier though.
You think so?
Yes. Yeah.
Cause all you need is a good DSLR mm-hmm. and a microphone to attach to it.
Yep.
I feel like the content, like you need good content. Like it can't just be like, you know, a few buffoons that are kind of like just like fumbling around just saying stupid stuff.
If you learn how to edit, you can have you seen Jackass?
See, that's editing too. Like I got to learn how to edit as well.
But what's wrong with that?
Nothing. I just don't know how to edit.
Yeah. But you start small.
Learn on the job. Yeah.
On the job training.
I'm like, there's plenty of YouTube videos of how to edit things or like, you're like, oh, well, I can't edit like a 10-minute video. All right, we'll start with the 2-minute clip. And you take that 2-minute clip and you upload it to mm-hmm. TikTok or to Instagram and you see like what people like, ask questions, and you take that 2-minute time and you expand it to 4 minutes. But you can't start with the 2-minute if you don't go out. You really don't have to buy a camera. You got an iPhone.
Stop making sense right now, Chris. You're making too much sense.
If you're bored, just go through and listen to the first 2 minutes of every single one of our podcasts up until where we are now. And you'll kind of see how that happened with us from sound quality to the editing portions of it, to how we do the introductions. And that's just the first 2 minutes of it.
I love it.
So yeah, for anyone listening, just get started. No matter what it is, just do it. You'll always find a reason not to.
Yes.
I was telling Chris. Well,
isn't that Nike slogan?
Just do it.
Yeah. Just do it.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go, Nike. I was telling Chris where my wife and I are trying to buy a condo now too. And we've always been interested in real estate investing, but I always found a million reasons not to. And this time around, after listening to the podcast that Chris also listened to and just a few other things that have happened in life, I was like, you know what? We just got to pull the trigger on. I can always find a reason not to do something.
This is true.
So when it makes sense,
you'll talk yourself out of it all the time.
I know mm-hmm. a mortgage lender if you want one.
I know a great mortgage lender. He can actually help you buy a house or a condo.
Well, hey. tell us about that, Sean.
Hey, perfect. Entered right there. So I have been with Movement Mortgage for going on 2 years now. I was a product of COVID.
Yeah.
After I got laid off at Untapped, of course. It was one of those things where I was approached. My best friend, Dan, and his wife is a branch manager for Movement Mortgage for New Bern and Jacksonville.
Ugh, that's a drive.
I know. Yeah. But, you know, during the whole pandemic, she was still thriving and still mm-hmm. working. And it was one of those things where I was just kind of like, huh, it didn't really make a lot of sense to me. And I guess on the outside looking in, it's just like, it doesn't make sense because in my mind, I'm like, no one's working. Like restaurants mm-hmm. are shut down, bars are shut down, breweries are shut down, people are quarantined, you know, stay at home. And it was one of those things where I'm just like, how are people buying houses? And it kind of like hit me like, you know what? It's not really the pandemic. It's one of those things where people are still working. They're still essential employees. There's still people that work from home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I never really looked at it from that point of view.
Mm.
So I'm like, all right, well, that kind of makes sense. And then I was approached from another good buddy of mine who I actually work for now at Movement. And he was like, you ever thought about getting into the mortgages, being a loan officer? Like the thought never crossed my mind. He was like, why not? He was like, you're from Wilmington. You're a people person. Yeah. You know a lot of people. Your sphere of influence is huge. Mm-hmm. You'd be great at it. And it took me a little bit. And as the time kind of like progressed with me being unemployed, I'm just like, I can't be unemployed any longer. I got to do something.
Right? Yeah.
So at that point, I pulled the trigger and I started taking my test. It's probably the hardest test that I've ever taken before in my life. It was one of those things where I'm like, I could like say it was the equivalent of, you know, taking the bar.
Yeah.
But I've never taken the bar, so I can't really speak on that. But as far as like talking to people, like different attorneys, and they were just like, I passed the bar. It was the worst test ever.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about getting my mortgage license.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can equate it to that. But I passed my test and I started working for Movement Mortgage. And I essentially hit the ground running. It was one of those things where I was told by multiple people, including my peers, as well as, you know, upper management, it takes time. And as you know, from me, instant gratification, I don't have time.
Right.
So I kind of tried to hit the ground running. And it was one of those things where I felt like I was smart enough to understand the systems on the go. But it was so much more than that. It was kind of building your book of business.
Yeah.
It was, I could reach out to so many of my friends that were real estate agents, or so many of my friends that, you know, were looking to buy houses. And it was one of those things where it was just like, you just have to get in front of so many people, like as quick as possible.
Yeah.
But it still takes time. You know, you have to keep cultivating those relationships. And there was a book that I read a while back, and it talked about it takes on average 7 touches in order to either acquire a meeting or do business with someone.
Yep.
So if you meet someone for the first time, you start talking about, you know, their life, you know, what they have going on, what they're looking for. It could be an exchange of emails. It could be exchange of text messages, phone calls, office pop-bys, visits, things like that. But on average, it takes about 7 times before they actually do business with you.
Yeah.
So it could have taken the same amount of time for you to get certain people on podcasts.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's like, hey, are you still want to do this? Hey, by the way, do you want to do the podcast this week? Yep. All right, if this week doesn't work, how about next week? You exchange a couple emails, text messages back and forth. You kind of pinpoint a time. Maybe something happens in their life or your lives or whatever. Because, I mean, Tyler, you expect a child. Is that?
Just had one.
Just had one.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah. So I remember it was like something.
Yeah.
So we were kind of delayed on me getting on here because you guys took a little bit of time off.
Exactly.
So now here I am.
It's just so interesting because everyone looks and they're like, well, you know, like when we talked to Catherine a couple of weeks ago, she was like, you have to know your friends in your circle so you can introduce the right people to the right people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I know you in your Wilmington local.
Yep.
And like Frances, who we had on the other week, she's also in the mortgage industry.
Okay.
But you got to know like what people are great at.
Exactly.
Like I know her and I know that they do a ton of like FHA and like VA loans and they're just like streamlined, like out the door. And I know you're in the Wilmington area. So I'm assuming you're more like first time home buyers or like.
So I do. I emphasize on first time home buyers. I also emphasize on VA. So dad, former military. It's one of those things where a large majority of my friends in my circle, a lot of them are currently serving or are retired. But it was one of those things where you kind of have to know your audience. You have to know your circle. You have to know exactly what you're really good at and have that self-awareness. And once you kind of pinpoint that, that's what you need to focus on.
Yeah.
So for me, first-time home buyers is huge. And the whole reason I got into the industry and the whole reason I love and I'm passionate about the industry is the fact that I'm helping someone obtain the American dream.
Yeah.
And as weird as it sounds or as cliche as it sounds, whatever you want to call it, like that is my sense of purpose. That's what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Having someone being able to walk them from point A to point Z and they're just like, wow, they're super appreciative.
Yeah.
And I help them during that process. So
it makes all the difference too, having the best kind of loan officer and everything as well, just because Catherine brought it up last week or the other week too, where it's probably one of the largest purchases that your clients are making in their life.
Absolutely.
And it's nerve-wracking first time looking at that number that like I owe all of this back.
Yes.
And just kind of having the confidence to walk through it.
Yep.
And just to kind of backtrack just a little bit, we're on one hell of a roll with veterans on this podcast. I mean, last 4, 5.
You're not a veteran, though.
I'm not a veteran.
But I'm saying with the VA loans.
Yeah.
That's,
we did one to you. But it's just one of those things is knowing those audiences because there are some people who are like, yeah, I can do a VA loan. I don't know all the paperwork, or I'm not amazing at it. So sometimes it could take a little bit longer. It could process, but you jumped in and you're like, hey, these are my friends. These are my people.
Yep.
So I'm going to focus on this.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, that's just a good thing, is knowing what you're good at.
Yeah.
Like, you're good with numbers. Like, even when we worked together, I was like, oh, I don't understand how you can look at this and be like, all right, let's do this trade here, or do this.
What's 6 times 3?
6 times 3, 18.
Okay. I just want to make
sure. And I'm just the guy, I'm like, I like watches. But I still haven't figured out what I'm like 100% on.
Like, what do you mean?
We talked about this a little while ago, but like, everyone finds a thing and it's like, this is their career. Like, this is their passion. And I feel like my passion is just helping people find what they want. And some people are like, you know, like you said, you're like, you're I feel like you're passionate about like helping people.
Absolutely. Just where, like you're passionate about helping people.
But it's not like, some people are better off in certain situations. Like, I'm good in watches and in jewelry, and you're good in like the housing industry and in mortgages and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what am I like really good at?
Finding the passion.
Yes.
So there was a book that I read a while back, and it talked about the key to happiness in life. And it talked about finding, there's three things you need to look for. Mm-hmm. You need to look for something that you're good at. Mm-hmm. You need to look at something that you're passionate about. And you have to find a way to tie that all in and make you money. And as long as you find something that you're good at, that makes you money, that you're passionate about, that's the key to life right there.
Yeah.
I mean,
wraps it up.
If I didn't have to make money, things would be so much easier.
Right.
I mean, you kind of have to make money to survive.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
I did just pick up a mortgage. So,
so it's even more important.
Unfortunately. So, yeah. So it's one of those things. I mean, I help investors as well. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a first time home purchase, but it's one of those things where I feel like I have the ability to mitigate those stresses.
Yeah.
And that's during the entire process. It doesn't matter if it's someone that's purchased, you know, several homes before in the past, or, you know, they're purchasing their third investment property. Mm-hmm. My goal is to mitigate all those stresses and make the process as streamlined and as simple as possible.
Yeah.
If I can do anything at all to take those stresses off of your plate, that's my job.
Right.
You know, everyone has their own life to kind of like live and their own job to do. Why am I putting something else on you or on your plate? You already have so many other things going on, whether it's a newborn,
right?
Whether it's, you know, fresh new career, whether it's going to school part-time, trying to finish your degree, get your doctorate, you know, your master's, whatever the case is, everyone has, you know, life going on. So now my goal is to take my job and be the subject matter expert and make this process super simple for you, so it doesn't take you away from your life and what you've got going on.
And that's perfect.
What I do.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
That's what you're looking for if you're looking for a mortgage there.
If you're looking for a mortgage, you know, my goal is to essentially take everything mortgage related and do everything for you.
So you mentioned before Port City Young Professionals.
Yes.
Was that before you started the mortgage industry, or did you get in that because of the mortgage industry? Nope.
So I've been a member of Port City Young Professionals for several years now. I used to work for Samsung. And when I worked for Samsung, it was one of those things where I didn't really have to be networking. It was just something to do, kind of like passing the time.
Yep.
So I became a member of Port City Young Professionals. This was probably circa 2015,
okay,
7 years ago.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where I found a great group of people, and finding young professionals, and they like to use that term loosely because, you know, you don't have to be young to be a member of Port City Young Professionals. Yeah. But at the same time, if you took young out of it, you know, no one wants to say like, hey, are you going to PCP tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be misconstrued.
For yes.
It's two different reasons. But anyway, that's the first question that everyone always asks. You know, I have a lot of friends that are young and old. I use the term old. It's not really an age thing. It's just they feel like they're too old to participate with Port City Young Professionals. Mm-hmm. And just to clear all that up, you know, there is not an age restriction for Port City Young Professionals.
Okay.
So, but it's a great networking opportunity. Mm-hmm. If you want to meet like-minded individuals, if you want to meet someone that's in the finance industry, if you want to meet someone that's in life coaching, if you want to meet someone that is a fitness consultant, if you want to meet someone who, you know, just started their small business, you know, you can meet someone from every walk of life at Poy City Young Professionals. So it's a great place to kind of meet people and meet like-minded individuals.
How did you find it and get involved?
I think I had a buddy of mine that was going one day and he was like, hey man, I'm going to a Christmas party or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be my guest. And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? So I showed up, and at that point I was like, oh, there's a lot of people that are ambitious and there's, you know, they like to have a good time and
right.
like-minded individuals such as myself, you know,
yeah. like, mm-hmm.
what does it take to be a member?
Yeah.
And they were like, it's $35. And I think that was the point where I met Jenna for the first time. And she's yep. actually the one who started Poy City Young Professionals. Mm-hmm. Also, you should have Jenna.
I was just thinking that too. I was like, I've met Jenna a few times. I did an interview with her for Firefly too. So I was like, I need to bring her on.
Nice. Yeah. Jenna's awesome. As a matter of fact, she just got married.
Nice.
I think it was last week, 2 weeks ago, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she did just get married. So congratulations to her and Stan.
Yeah. Shout out.
Shout out to Stan and Jenna Way. But it was one of those things where, you know, it's $35 mm-hmm. for the year to join PCYP. Yeah. And I've been a member of, you know, Business Networking Internationals or BNI groups. I've been a member of, you know, ICAG. I've been a member of so many different networking organizations.
Yeah.
Where I haven't received the kind of backing and that closeness and that just all around good feeling of a networking group such as PCYP. I mean, PCYP is the networking group of Wilmington, in my opinion. Much.
Yeah.
So it's a great place. I mean, it's $25 for each year after your first year.
Oh, wow.
So not bad. $25 a year. I mean,
yeah, that's fantastic. That. Yeah.
And I became an ambassador. Jenna actually asked me to be an ambassador 2 years ago, maybe.
Oh, nice.
So basically when I got into the mortgage world, it's one of those things where I had other people that were like, I thought you were already an ambassador.
And
I
yeah.
like, I show up for all the events and I have a good time.
Right.
I know all the right people, I guess.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So, but yeah, so I've been an ambassador for about 2 years now.
Okay, nice.
What's an ambassador?
An ambassador is an advocate for Poy City Young Professionals. It's one of the people that have that cool silver name tag.
Yeah.
That's okay. just a plus.
Okay.
Yeah, just to kind of make us stand out. But we're actually the ones that are kind of the backbone for PCYP. We're the ones that are volunteering to set up the events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to breaking everything down or putting everything up,
mm-hmm.
getting the word out there, kind of recruiting more people. We have ambassador liaisons. So what Jenna will do is send out an email for all of the ambassadors and basically say, hey, this is a new member. Please welcome this new member and do anything that you can to kind of like find out who they are, who they're looking to connect to, and just make the process as inviting as possible.
Oh, wow.
So kind of going a step above and beyond just to make sure that you do everything that you can to make PCYP very welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I just wanted people to understand.
I mean, everyone's different. You know, you have introverts, you have extroverts. You know, if you put an introvert into a networking group, they may not have the best time.
Yeah.
But if you pair an introvert with an extrovert and the extrovert says, hey, this is my good buddy. Hey, why don't you meet them mm-hmm. and get them involved in talking? It's going to make that introvert's life a lot easier and it's going to like help them so much more.
I can see that.
Well, after this conversation, I think that pushes me into I just need to do it now. Back to the just do it thing. Because
I got my laptop. We'll go and get everything squared away.
All right. Sounds good. Like I said, like ever since I've known Catherine, she was involved with PCYP. I met Jenna through Catherine and everything too. And I was like, you know what, this is something I need to do. And I've just slacked for all of these years. And this is probably the way I need to just get involved.
I thought you were already a part of it.
I just know a lot of people that are involved in PCYP and hang out with them a lot. So, I mean, it just makes sense for me to join.
It really does. So I thought we were talking about mortgages at first, but.
Yeah.
Well, this is what happens on this podcast.
this is the point. Everyone's like, I don't know what we're going to talk about on here. I mean, I have a boring life. I'm like, no, I can make anybody sound great.
I mean, he's not wrong.
So one of my last questions is because I love the Azalea Festival.
Okay.
And you said you're a part of that?
I am. I'm a committee chair.
What does that mean? Like, okay, so I understand what a committee chair is. Some people might not, but what committee?
So there's a ton of different committees that the Azalea Festival have.
Yeah.
I'm actually a committee chair for the Festival Fun Guide. So the Festival Fun Guide is basically a brochure that folds out. You may have seen them a lot, you know, during the Azalea Festival week, you know, right before the Azalea Festival started and during the Azalea Festival weekend, but basically gives you an entire map, an entire layout of the different events that are happening around town, whether it's the concerts that are happening, which the Brantley Gilbert concert was awesome. I did get to attend that concert.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. So it's really cool to see like so much community involvement and so many different things happening for the area that, you know, we grew up in, that we're from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a kid, I remember going to the parade all the time. Yeah. And that was like, that was a cool thing to do.
Yes.
Then it's like, as you got older, it's like, you don't really want to go to the parade. Like, you know, it's cool. You know about it, but you don't want to, you don't really want to do it. Mm-mm. Now, as you get older, it's one of those things where you kind of start to experience a little bit more out of Wilmington and what Wilmington has to offer. And you want to get more involved in Wilmington because this is your city.
Yeah.
This is where you're from. So I was approached by...
You don't have to name a name. You can just say a
person. Drop. All right. So I was approached by a person that is a big, big part of Azalea Festival. Okay. And I volunteered. When I volunteered, it was one of those things where she asked me if I wanted to get even more involved in Azalea Festival. And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, this is my community. Why would I not want to do that? So she emailed me and then she called me and followed up and she said, hey, you know, I know you volunteered a while back, but would you be interested in being committee chair or co-chair? I was like, sure, why not?
Yeah.
And actually Catherine was the first person to get me involved with volunteering. So I'll go ahead and drop Catherine's name. She's the reason for me volunteering the very first time. And that was several years back. But ever since then, it was a kind of a way to give back to the community. So I asked what committees they had available and they kind of ran down a little list of it and they were like, hey, so how about the Festival Fun Guide? Hmm. And basically my job was to approach local businesses and ask them if they want to be advertised in the Festival Fun Guide or be a part of the Azalea Festival in any way, shape or form.
Yeah.
So it could be as simple as they want to give 10% off of, you know, the meals during the month of April. If certain people came in wearing a pin and that was our Pin Pals program.
Oh, okay.
So each business could kind of like delegate whatever they wanted to do as far as their specials. It could be Buckle saying, you know what, you get 10% off of your purchase if you're wearing that pin for the entire month of April. It could be Witch saying, you know, you're going to get a dollar off of your sandwich purchase, you know, just whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be anything specific.
These are all ideas. There's no guarantee any of these things have happened or will happen.
This is true.
Right.
It's just speculating and just something that could happen. So if you own a local business and if you want to get involved with the Azalea Festival next year, reach out to me.
This is like a perfect Wilmington plug podcast.
Yes. Welcome to the area.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
We're starting to come up on our time today, so we're going to ask our famous last question.
Ooh.
So if you were to tell your younger self anything, what would it be? Serious or not?
If I were to tell my younger self anything, what would it be? Get involved in real estate sooner.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I mean, just invest in real estate sooner because I consider life like the game of Monopoly.
Yeah.
And the goal in Monopoly, of course, is to get as much money as possible, but buying properties. If you can own as many properties on the board, you know, if you take Park Place and Boardwalk, and then someone else has every other space, every other property, and you've got two hotels on Park Place and Boardwalk, who's going to win?
Right. Good point.
So.
Depends on my luck. Because technically you can hit all the railroads and not owe anybody anything.
I mean, technicalities. But odds are you're going to lose.
Right, yeah.
So the goal in life, in my opinion, is to invest in real estate and make your money make money for you. So if I were to tell my younger self something, it would definitely be invest in real estate sooner.
It's funny you say that, though, because a buddy of mine who had a very successful career in just kind of the like W-2 type of income type of thing is getting to the point now where he's like, you know what? I don't want to have to continue doing this job anymore.
Absolutely.
I can't do it anymore. I don't want to do it anymore, no matter what it is. And he has started accumulating different real estate from here to Florida. And he's, every time he buys a new property, he's like playing that game of Monopoly.
Yep.
And just adding another one to the board. And then he'll go, add another one to the board, add another one to the board.
He's making money while he sleeps.
Yeah.
And that's the goal. You know, when he has to wake up the next morning and he's like, you know what, I got to go to work. Or even if you want to change your perspective on it and say, I get to go to work.
Right.
At that point, he doesn't have to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He can say, I get to do whatever the hell I want.
Right.
And that's my goal in life, to be able to wake up and say, I get to do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of do.
Not really. I got
to
work.
And to work for the man. To that perspective too, though, the gentleman that I'm thinking of has a fantastic quote unquote job, and he can pretty much do what he wants when he wants anyway, but he understands the value of money, making him money and exactly. making it while he's sleeping.
Yep.
So maybe we'll bring him on sometime. Hopefully.
I mean, we should definitely do that.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this earlier. I'm always thinking about questions I would tell, things I would tell my younger self, but also everyone's like, you should invite this person on. I promise everybody we will try and get as many people on here as possible. I'm like, we haven't even hit episode 20 yet.
I know. It's crazy.
Like,
think of.
You had a slate where a lot of people did mortgage, more in real estate. But think about it. We're young people. This is what we're, this is the time in our life where we're trying to invest. We're trying to get something that makes sense. And I'm like, you know.
We're always taking recommendations, though, for people to bring on.
Yes.
Just gets added to the list.
And I mean, you're going to get like-minded individuals. Mm-hmm. So
exactly. I mean, yeah.
Catherine came on. Catherine's a great friend of mine. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where I consider Catherine in my circle. Catherine is very much a part of my life when it comes to someone that I know that is super ambitious, that's driven, and that adds value to my life.
Yeah.
And I definitely think that bringing anyone on the podcast that has the ability to do that and has that going for them, they're going to be able to speak volumes to all the listeners and help those listeners kind of achieve what they want.
It's kind of what we've been doing, is kind of following the circle of influence for people. So like Catherine brought up your name. We brought you yeah. on. Brittany, who we both know well, brought up Chelsea Hollis. So we brought her on. So just kind of following those circles of influence, I think, is just kind of building the value. Yes.
I think another person you should bring on for sure is Jeff Leslie.
I know. Yeah. We were actually just, so you know who he is because that's why we went to Alcove. Not Alcove.
Okay.
Aloft.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got you now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, last week?
Yeah.
You guys were there?
Yeah.
We went the day after.
Yes. You were there and I was
yeah,
like,
yeah, you okay. were there. And that's how I saw that Jeff Leslie was there.
Yep.
And then I forgot that Aloft existed. And so we went there the very next day.
But it's yeah. it's new.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like I asked and the guy's like, yeah, well, like we opened in November.
Yeah. Yeah.
6 months new.
I'm like, oh, well, that's why you look so clean.
Yeah.
Cloud9's pretty clean, too. They've been open for a while now.
Yeah.
True. I mean, just like the actual bar, like everything inside.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were in another hotel and I walked in. I was like, Welp, apparently you're not paying your cleaning people enough. I don't throw people under the bus, but I'm like, man, I've just heard stories lately. Is that a lot of places, like the big name spots, are like, hey, you know, this is a nice hotel. But then you go into the room, you're like, ugh.
Yeah. It's like bring your own comforter.
Yeah.
Right.
Your own pillows.
Yeah. Pay your people.
Sleeping in a sleeping bag on top of that.
Yeah. All right. Well, this one has officially made our longest podcast. So congratulations.
Oh, wow. I don't know if that's a good thing.
No, that's a fantastic thing. When we get off track, that means it's a good podcast.
One. Yes.
Podcast, yeah.
Just edit it down. It's fine.
Yeah. No, it's fine. We're going to keep the whole thing.
Okay, maybe not the whole thing.
The whole thing?
We'll see.
Okay. We don't edit very much.
That's yeah, fair. Very little editing.
We'll make you sound better, but that's about it.
That sounds good.
All right, yeah.
But yeah, thank you, Sean,
for coming
on here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I definitely enjoyed it. I hope you guys enjoy the Buffalo Trace as much as I do.
Yes. Oh, yeah, we certainly did.
I I definitely appreciate the official Buffalo Trace.
The official Buffalo Trace.
I feel like this is the whiskey on the bottle.
The official whiskey of the Whiskey and Wisdom podcast. Like, just make that Buffalo Trace the official whiskey of the Whiskey and Wisdom podcast.
If they pay us,
yes,
I will do that.
If I can get a podcast where I just
if they pay
went
you guys
down,
in Buffalo Trace, would you accept that?
I'll also accept that.
There we go.
Yeah. If I could just go down the bill of Buffalo Trace things, like, sure, I'll do a podcast on that. Let's go. Yeah,
can make that happen.
But let's do it.
Yeah.
Definitely everyone check us out on all of our podcast applications, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor. Are we on Anchor?
We're on Anchor is Spotify, but we are on pretty much every single podcast app that's out there in the world at this point.
We are out there. Our person out in Denmark, even if you're using a VPN, we still thank you for listening. But also check out some of our fun people that we've linked up with and companies. We're doing Rise energy drink now.
Raise energy drinks is my favorite because it's the only one that doesn't make me sick when I drink it. So that's
why. Have you had Rain?
I have had Rain. That is very close.
Okay.
Yeah. So I can drink the majority of Rain and not get a headache from it. If I drink a full Rain too fast, I will. Raise is been the best so far. And they also have one that's called Baja Lime. It's like Baja Blast. And
I'm
that's,
interested.
Yeah.
You've got my full attention now.
Exactly. They have my two favorite are Baja Blast and Sour Gummy Worm.
Yes.
Oh, they're very nice flavors.
But guess what? If you use code WISDOM on their website, you actually get a discount.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
I'm all about discounts.
Yeah. Also, because like we say all the time, we do have a buy me a coffee because Tyler loves coffee.
I do. I have one right now.
And I love whiskey. We set up another link as well for those people who want some coffee.
It is Bones Coffee. It's since we had a nice run of veterans and about half of our guests have been veterans or family of veterans. They are actually veteran owned. Nice. And also they do all flavored coffees. So my favorite that I've had so far, because I started to do the like build your own pack.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's a s'mores one that's fantastic. A chocolate chip mint is fantastic. And then, of course, the regular like vanilla and all of that fun stuff. Those are pretty good, too. But the fun flavors, they have a cotton candy I'm going to try next.
And a coffee.
And a coffee. And they sound crazy. But when you try them, they're mind-blowing. So, I mean, like, it's not like a everyday type of coffee type of deal. But every once in a while, when you like want a little flavor to it, like
mix it up.
Mix that in there. I don't even add sugar to them. They're that good.
Which is great because the code to save you money on that is wisdom as well. So for those people who are making those looks and you're like, ugh, cotton candy, s'mores.
I'll give it a try. Just add code wisdom.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, yeah. Get a discount.
I'm like, I don't want to pay for it full price. But if I get a discount, I'll definitely go for it.
And it's also no coincidence that it's energy drinks and coffee.
Yes.
Running too hard these days.
If it could only get us a discount on whiskey, we would be fully set up.
Right. I think that's frowned upon.
Yes. I was going to say, yeah, I don't think you can do that in North Carolina.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, that would make it perfect. But
in a perfect world.
Maybe one of these days.
One day. But yeah. Thank you, Sean, once again for coming on.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Cheers.
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 See you in the next one.